Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. You know, what you say yes to in life and what you say no to in life always has consequences. You say yes and go through this door, it's a different experience. You say no and close that door, different experience. And I know as parents, you know, I remember with my kids too, it's important to teach your young people what is okay, yes, and what is not okay. I mean, I remember when Mark and Luke were little and they were playing soccer and a ball would go into the street. No, you don't chase that ball into the street. Before you go into the street, what should you do? Stop, look, listen, yeah. No, you can't get that boiling, you can't touch that boiling pot on the stove, you'll get scalded. No, we love you, we don't want you to do that. Or, no, you can't have chocolate peanut butter ice cream for breakfast. It's not nutritious, you can't have that. No, you can't stay at the mall till it closes, you're 13 years old. No, I don't care if all your friends are going to Vincent's house. If his parents aren't home, you can't go. Or, no, I don't care who's getting their hair colored purple or getting piercings or tattoos. As long as you're in my house, you can't do that. When you turn 40, then you can think about it. Yeah. But there's also places to say yes. Yes, I love you. No matter what happens, you have a home here, and I will never reject you. Yes, if you want that stereo, get a job. Work for it, and I might help with it too. Or you want that car, get a job, earn the money. You want to go to that expensive school, we'll support you, but you got to work for a scholarship because we can't afford it. And so there's yeses too. And the yeses and noes you try to drum into your kids' heads because you know the world out there, there's a lot of temptations. With the internet and other things, a lot of temptations come at you, and you hope the yeses and noes you teach them will help be like a support and a banister to hold on to as they walk through life with all the temptations. And Jesus also, he knew when to say yes and when to say no. And Jesus could be very tough, yet in his toughness or in his meekness, it was always from the love and energy of agape and love, unconditional love that went through Jesus. I mean, he drove his disciples crazy because, you know, in his society, kids were property, women were property, but he'd go along and say, no, let the kids come to me. And he'd play with the kids and kiss the kids and hug the kids and, in fact, he said, you got to become like a child to enter the kingdom of God. Blew their minds. Women were crazy about Jesus. They were all around you because women were worthless in those days. They weren't worth anything. A guy could say, I divorce you, if she burned his bread for breakfast, and they'd be divorced. He said, no. Every human being has eternal worth. Every human being is a child of God. Every human being is made in the image and likeness of God. And he reads Luke's gospel especially. There's women supporting him. And women were there when he was crucified. And all the guys ran except for John, the beloved disciple. And this was the same in the church for the first 150 years. Women were leaders. But then the church was accepted in the Roman Empire. But Constantine became a Christian. And so they took on Roman ways of doing things. So women were cut out. And unfortunately still, I mean, Lutheran Church, we have women pastors now, women bishops, but some churches still don't accept women, which is ridiculous. I mean, Mary Magdalene was the first one to witness to the Easter gospel. And remember, the guys said, oh no, we don't believe you. Yeah. And if it wasn't for women, look, how many guys are here today? How many women? Women win. Yeah. We need guys too. We need estrogen and testosterone. We need both, but we need both today because God made both, and it's good. And look who Jesus said yes to. I mean, if you're going to pick a group of people to follow you, he had a tax collector, Matthew. I mean, you know, he had a fisherman like Peter and Andrew. He had prostitutes following him. He had a revolutionaries like Simon the Zealot. He had a traitor. Even Judas, but he invited them to follow him. Jesus said yes to these people, but he also knew when to say no. No, this is not of God. In today's gospel, Jesus was very clear about his no's. Just before this gospel today, in Matthew's gospel, we hear of Jesus' baptism. And when he comes out of the water, what's his identity? God tells him, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And then the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And he was famished, no food. And when you're hungry, or you're tired, or you're lonely, that's when the tempter knows you're most vulnerable and goes after you. The same with Jesus, the same with Jesus. And so let's see what Jesus did when he was hungry, famished, and lonely, and tired. What did he say yes to? What did he say no to? And notice, this is important, all the temptations that Jesus had were backed up by Scripture. The devil knew the Scripture. The Bible makes us quite aware that temptation rarely is simply a matter of this is obviously bad and this is obviously good. Look, bread's a good thing. I like bread. We're going to have bread Wednesday night. It's good stuff. Politics to help people out and to help the nation out and to work for the common good and work to compromise and move ahead as the American way and follow the Constitution, that's good. You know, wonderful things happening. Make St. Paul's into a crystal cathedral. That's wonderful. People would be flocking here. Of course, that always bothered me in a crystal cathedral. Where do you go to the bathroom? But that's another story. So why does Jesus reject these things? Why does Jesus need to quote Scripture back to Satan? Because Jesus refuses to say, "Hey, look at me. I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the Son of God. Whoop-dee-doo, look at me." He refuses to have self-promotion or demonstrate his relationship with God in that kind of way. And Jesus did not forget who he was. He did not forget whose he was. He was the Son of God. Well, the devil said, "Oh, if, I double dare you, if, turn this stone into bread. I double dare you, if you want, jump from the top of the temple and make a big show. I double dare you, if, follow me and you have all the kingdoms. You'll be king of the world." And Jesus did not forget who he was. Even later in his ministry, when he does miracles of love, like when he fed the 5,000 with a few fish and a few loaves, he said, "Shh, don't tell anybody, keep it quiet." Even though they misunderstood him and they tried to make him bread king, he tried to keep it quiet. See, he refuses to dance to the devil's tune. He refuses to dance to Satan's dance. The word of God was more to Jesus than food. It was more to Jesus than politics. It was more to Jesus than even religion. He was the embodiment of God's word. The word became flesh in Jesus Christ. And yes, later in his ministry, he did these miracles, but he always said, "Don't tell anybody." But what did they do? They told everybody, so it couldn't keep it quiet. But materially, politically, religiously, Jesus marched to a different drummer. And that drummer was the way and the word of God. Jesus knew a secret more than all the worldly power and worldly glory and worldly acknowledgement, affirmation, how wonderful you are. More importantly than all this is God was the real power. And that's the power of love and the power of service and the power of forgiveness and the power of relationship. Even though the world will often overlook this or even make fun of us, that's the real power. And Jesus knew it. Jesus was obedience to God's word, even to the death on the cross. His yes was yes to God and God's word. His no was everything that got in the way of loving God with all of his heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and loving his neighbor as himself. He said no. And Jesus wins. He wins. He says, away with you, Satan. But then, as we read in Luke's gospel, Satan leaves until he finds another opportune time. But the angels came and they ministered to him. He ultimately would defeat sin, death, and the devil by dying. And 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. So Jesus Christ is sitting right next to you today. He's with you. And as you receive Holy Communion, he'll be in you. We can't get away. We live and move and breathe in Jesus Christ. As St. Paul tells us, as surely as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no, but in Jesus Christ, it's always yes, yes. And in Jesus, God's no becomes our no, and God's yes becomes our yes. So we say no to revenge because we have the yes of God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. We say no to self-indulgence because we have the yes of God in Christ's self-control. We say no to racism and sexism because in Jesus Christ we see the world as God sees it, in love. We say no to oppression because we say yes to justice. And we say no to gun violence because we say yes to the safety of our children and the safety of our neighbors. We say, put in your own. What do you say no to in Lent? What do you say no to? Think about it. Because you say yes to Jesus, because Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, what do you say no to? And what do you say yes to? That's a good Lenten discipline. For you see, Lent is opportunity to get our yeses and our no's in order, to remember who we are and whose we are in baptism, and to know that Jesus Christ is with us. He is the way. He is the truth, capital C. He is the life. And he will wash away all the dust that's accumulated during our lives, and he will restore us and make us pristine sons and daughters of God. So then, through the Lenten disciplines, we are prepared to glow with glory on Easter Sunday. God bless you in the discipline of Lent and prepare you for the glories that you can't even imagine. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.